Welcome to Home Fellowship Church and Resurrection Sunday. And now, okay, well, God is so faithful to answer prayers. So I was going to say some things, but I think the Lord would said, don't do that. So Peggy, we have a microphone for you. Would you share the word with us? I'm going to turn this thing on. Oh, do you need, you have that one? Okay.
Hands free.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. And then I'll talk afterwards. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Is this one on, George? There we go. It's like Pastor Gary said, for a believer, this is the best day of the year. Amen. But when we think of the days just prior to this day, truly our hearts burn within us of the word, because we realize that Pilate, he took Jesus and he whipped him. And the soldiers, they plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put on a purple robe. And they said to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they slapped him with their hands. Pilate came before the people and he said to them, "I bring him unto you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus wearing that crown of thorns and that purple robe. And Pilate said, "Behold the man." But the chief priests and the scribes, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "Then you take him and you crucify him, for I find no fault in him." But the chief priests and the scribes spoke up and said, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was terrified and fearful, and he came into the judgment seat and he said to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" Jesus wouldn't answer him. And Pilate said, "You don't want to speak with me? Do you not realize that I have the power to crucify you or the power to release you?" And then Jesus said, "You don't have any power over me at all, except what is given to you from above. But he that delivered me to you has the greater sin." From that time forward, Pilate sought to release Jesus. But the Jews cried out, "Pilate, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anybody who makes himself a king is the enemy of Caesar." Pilate heard this, and he came into the judgment hall in a place called the pavement, or in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was about the sixth hour of the Jews' preparation day. And he said to them, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered and said, "We have no king but Caesar." Then Jesus was delivered over to them. And he, bearing his cross, came to a place called the place of the skull, or in the Hebrew, Golgotha. And there they crucified him with two others, one on either side, and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate made a title, and he put it on the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Now the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and many of the Jews could read the sign, for it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests came to him and said, "Pilate, write not 'King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they parted his garment in four, one for each of the soldiers. But when they came to his undergarment and saw that it was woven from the top throughout, they reasoned among themselves and said, let us not tear it, but let us cast lots to see whose that it might be. And thus were the scriptures fulfilled that said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. All these things the soldiers did. Now standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciples standing nearby whom he loved, he said to her, woman, behold your son. And to that disciple he said, behold your mother. And from that very hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Now Jesus, realizing that all things must be accomplished and for scripture to be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And there was a vessel nearby with a sour vinegar. And they took a sponge and they put it on a branch and they put it up to him. And when he had received it, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head. And his spirit left his body. Now, because it was the Jews' preparation day, and the body should not be left on the cross, they came to Pilate and requested that the legs be broken. So the soldiers came to the first and broke his, and to the other. But when they came to Jesus, and they saw that he was already dead, they broke not his legs. But a soldier standing nearby took a sword and thrust it into his side, and immediately out came blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and this is recorded that you might believe. For the scripture says, not a bone of his body shall be broken. And another scripture that says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Then Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate and requested the body, and Pilate gave it to him. Along with him came Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night. And he had about 100 pounds of the myrrh and aloes. And they took the body of Jesus, and they wrapped it in the linen cloths with the spices, as was the custom of the Jews for burial. Now in the place where Jesus was crucified was a garden. And in the garden there was a tomb where never man had laid. And there they lay the body of Jesus, for the Jews' preparation day was near at hand. John chapter 19.
How do we do that?
How do you what?
How do we do that? How do we put God first in our lives and avoid making other people or other things an idol, you know?
In another answer to how can we love the Lord, if you're a parent, you know that your kids want one thing from you more than anything else, and it's spelled T-I-M-E, time. They know that we love them by the time and the quality of time that we spend with them. So if we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength and all of our might, we have to spend time with him. And we spend time in his word so that he can speak to our hearts and tell us how to love him more.
It was just a nightmare. Or was it? These dreams, they won't leave me. All the peoples have dreamed about him. Why me? Call him what you want, a criminal, a lunatic. All I know is this. Jesus claimed to have a direct connection to God. Nightmares. They came with a message. What do I do with this message? What if the nightmares came from the devil himself? To thwart the plans of the man they say saves souls? Messiah's time had come to rule the world, I did the only thing I could do, even though I knew it could cost my husband and I our privileged positions. My husband, have nothing to do with that man, Jesus. The city was already heaving with people from the Passover. The Jews surely would have rioted. I can only pretend to know what real power feels like, for I'm only married to it. Does innocent blood run warmer on his hands? Does regret steal his sleep? Whatever the case, he did not listen to me. His followers say that he will come back to life. Let me assure you, there is no coming back from what he succumbed to. Who do I say that he is? This man who stood stoically as he was beaten, ridiculed, and tortured. Who claimed things I'd never seen another human being claim. Who taught peacefully as far as I could ever tell. I have no idea who he was. But it doesn't matter. He's dead.
If it was me, I would say, but it doesn't matter because he's dead. Right? I would have just added, right? Because she might have thought Jesus was all these things, but to her, he was just a dead guy. And just like if you don't understand who he is, and you remember that scene with that little lantern with the oil, the flame was burning, right? God's trying to speak to you. He's trying to get that flame of the Holy Spirit in your heart lit. He's trying to get it aflame. He's trying to get it burning in your heart. He's trying. And you know what? When you don't understand who he is, or you don't want to believe who he is, Satan comes over and goes, and blows out that flame, takes that seed away, whatever you want to say. Now listen. Oh, Pastor, you're this is supposed to be a nice, fun Easter message. You're laying it on. And I brought a guest here. Well, thank you, Lord, that you did bring a guest here because he wants to save you. He wants you to know who he is. Listen, what does it matter, Pastor, what we think he is? I read the Bible. I know the stories. He's a good guy. That's not enough. The Bible says you must be born again. Listen, did you know if you're not for Jesus, the Bible says you're actually against him? Well, Pastor, I'm kind of like Switzerland. I'm neutral. I'm neutral. So I'm not making any decision, okay? Well, can I tell you, just being honest, making no decision for Jesus is making a decision against Jesus. He's presenting himself to you, maybe even now. You have to accept or reject him. That's your choice. I can't do it for you. The person sitting next to you can't do it, right? You have to choose. It's your choice. But God is saying, I love you. But listen, I want you to know the reality of things. The Bible says in Luke 11:23, Jesus says this, okay? He says, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. If you're not gathering with Jesus, do people even do puzzles today? Okay, so you guys know what puzzles are, right? Right? It's still a cool thing. Okay, you know what a puzzle is, right? The pieces, right? What'd you say? It's not cool? Talk to the hand. Anyway. So picture a puzzle, okay? And here's what we're doing. Okay, you're either helping people, because if you know Jesus, then you're taking those puzzle pieces and you're helping this person. And you're helping them to see who Jesus is a little bit better. You're helping them. You're taking a puzzle piece here. You're taking a puzzle piece there to help them see, to hear, to understand who Jesus is a little bit better so that they could know him personally. Do you understand that? If you're saved, I know that's what you're doing because the living God lives within you. Now, can I tell you something else? If you're not for him, if you're not walking with him, you're not doing that. You know what you're actually doing? You're taking that puzzle piece. And have you ever had a little bratty sister or brother after you made the puzzle, you know, or bratty whatever, and they'll just come up and they'll go, flip, or hit it, you know what I mean? And you're either gathering for Jesus or you're scattering. But Pastor, God loves the world. He so loves the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I know this scripture. And God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, right? So we're good, right? No. Listen, the Bible says, yet to all who received him, right? He's offering. This gift is for everybody. But it says to those who received him, who believed on his name, the name of Jesus Christ, above every other name, that every tongue would confess, knee would bow, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He gave the right to become children of God. It's a supernatural thing. Listen, hear me now, folks. And I'm saying this out of love, not out of jerkiness, okay? Listen, I like the scripture picture. Okay, when I made it, I'm like, oh, this is good. Here's what the Bible says. Listen, who you say Jesus is means everything. Okay? It says, whoever believes in the Son has put, and when he says believes, it means put your faith, your trust, your hope, your assurance. Does that make sense? He who believes in the Son has eternal life. The Bible says in John 10 that you will be in your Father's hand and no one can snatch you out of your Father's hands, right? He says, but, this is in John 3:36, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Woo! Now, you could either be taking this in a bad way, thinking, oh my goodness, why did I invite my friend here today? Or you could be thinking, oh my God, thank you so much that you're allowing the Holy Spirit to show us these things. Look, there is a heaven and a hell, whether folks want to hear it or not. And God doesn't want you to go there. You choose to gather with him, or you choose to scatter. You choose to follow, or you choose to go your own way. It's your choice. Listen, here's the second person. Blind Bartimaeus. Would you roll film with that, George? This is in Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. And here we go. If you'd turn it up a little bit, George, I appreciate it.
You first have to understand the noise. The crowd. I could hear that they were close onto the road, and not just because I had great hearing to make up for my blind eyes. I mean, this was a roar. People cheering and clapping and singing. As they got closer, I tried to listen as carefully as I could, see if I could make out what they were saying. I knew that they were coming my way. See, some of us sat by the main gates where most people would come and go. I know people by how they walk, whether they drag their feet or not. And every day I just sat there and waited for mercy. But all I could do was listen. Suddenly I realized that they cheered for him. Some grumbled even speaking his name. Others said he was the Messiah. But a handful of had witnessed him healing people. I crawled closer to the road, afraid that I might be trampled. I could hear that there were a lot of people coming. Is that him? Is that the teacher?
anyone tell me? Is it him? And someone said, yes, it was Jesus. And to this day, I can't explain it, but I just yelled. I yelled louder than I had ever yelled. Son of David, have mercy on me. He heard me and he came over where I was and asked what I wanted to see. And then everything I had always hoped to lay my eyes on was there before me. I followed him that day, and the next day, and the next day. What amazed me was, it seemed like the people that could see the best were the most blind. As for who I say he is, one day, I was yelling for him to heal me. Now, here we are in Jerusalem, yelling to all those who have ears to hear that he is Hosanna in the highest. He is the Messiah.
Pastor Gary, how long have I been teaching up here? How much? Okay, close to 50 minutes. Okay, so we're not going to read the passage for time's sake, but I will tell you that there were people even with blind Bartimaeus, and he's crying out, Lord Jesus. One thing I can tell you, if you don't know what to pray to Jesus, if you just cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, have mercy on me. Can I tell you, that's always a prayer that Jesus will hear every time. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, there were people around him that were telling him to be quiet. Oh, don't bother the teacher. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't go to that Bible study. Oh, don't go to that Bible teaching church. Don't read the word. Don't waste your time. Don't go to youth group. Don't listen to Christian music. Don't get involved in the church. Just sit on the sidelines. It's easier, right? Don't crawl. But yet, you're going to have to say, like Bartimaeus, you know what? You're going to have to say, I don't care what the crowd say. I want to follow you. Jesus, have mercy on me. And if you do that, he will heal you. He will help you. He'll meet you right where you're at. Does that make sense? Yes. Helen Keller said something really, you know, I don't know if you remember that in the saying, he said, it's kind of funny. The people who seem to see the best miss it or something. I can't remember exactly what he said, but Helen Keller said something that struck me, and it's this. Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no insight. Listen, for those of you who don't know, Satan has blinded the mind of every person, okay, since the fall. Okay, since, and it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. Okay, that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we need to pray. You need to be praying for your friends. Lord, open their eyes, or open my eyes, Lord, to see you for who you really are. Listen, Jesus came for this reason. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, or maybe 16, 18, good. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus went up and he spoke these words. It was prophesied in Isaiah. And he has anointed me, Jesus said, to proclaim the good news or the gospel to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. He's not talking about Jesus going to prisons and preaching the gospel and them opening the door. What he's talking about is you being in prison to religion, to your sin, to your lusts, to yourself. That's what he's talking about, right? And if you're poor in spirit, you're going to cry out to him, and he's going to give you freedom from Satan's grasp, from Satan's blindness, right? and he's going to free you forever. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed forever, forever, forever. There was another guy Jesus healed, and I love this, and I love this scripture picture. He did something that was kind of weird. He never healed people the same way. I think otherwise we'd try to put God in a box, like, oh, you know, the Jesus three steps to healing plan or something. But he took dirt. This is kind of unsanitary, okay? So here's what he did. First he spit on the ground. Huck tui. This is not a pattern to follow, okay? Unless the Lord specifically says, two. And he made mud, and he put it, not very sanitary, in the guy's blind eyes from birth, okay? Again, not a pattern we should follow unless the Lord says so, right? And it told him to wash in the pool of Siloam, which is the pool of the sent one, the Messiah. Woo! And then what happened was he was able to see. It's that same way with faith. You could go to church and all these things, but unless you give it all over to him, you are blind. You will not be able to see. I don't even know how to say it. I wish I did. I wish I could say it better. But I grew up in church. I had all the stuff, so I got it. I know it. There's a world of difference, a life-changing world, here and forever. He said something really wonderful. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were so mad at this blind guy. They brought him before him. They said, How can you see? And they're like, I just, Jesus. And they were so mad at that they called his parents in. Because they're saying, this isn't really the same guy, because he was blind since birth. They brought his parents in. His parents are like, this is my kid. And they're like, how come he sees? He's like, I don't know. All I can tell you, he's my kid. He's obviously seeing. He's like, why don't you ask him? he's a regular man now. And then he said something really profound. He said, one thing I do know, when they were asking him, he said, I don't know anything else, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Do you see? Do you know him? Do you? The world tells us that seeing is believing, but with that little seed of faith with Jesus, it's believing is seeing. The belief comes first. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference? The last person is Mary Magdalene. This is very short. And then I'm going to ask, and just I'm going to come back up here just for a minute or two. And then I'm going to ask Lester and Peggy to come up. And I'm going to ask you guys to just give an invitation and close us out however you feel led. I know you want to say a little bit more scripture, but I'd like you just to close us out however you do that. Whatever you feel the Holy Spirit is leading. Don't even need to know. Okay? All right, so would you roll that last film?
It was quiet when we approached the tomb. Days before, there was noise wherever we went. Crowds cheering, sometimes yelling. But now, in front of his tomb, just silence. I had gathered all my spices and oils, intending to anoint the body. When I got there, he was gone. Jesus changed my life. Ever since the day that I met him in Galilee, he rescued me. And I followed him ever since, all the way to his death. But there was the tomb, and it was empty. My heart broke into 1,000 pieces. I turned, and there was a gardener, and I asked him if he knew where they had taken Jesus's body. But I recognized it was Jesus. It was my Lord. He taught us that his sheep would recognize his voice, and I knew him. I knew him the minute he said my name. I dropped to my knees. What else could I do but cling to him? I never wanted to let him out of my sight. But no, He had different plans for me. He wanted me to let the others know about the good news. I ran as fast as my legs would carry me, shouting like an excited child. He did it. He did it. He really did it. To think that I had come to anoint a dead man, and I left with proof that he is the overcomer of everything. All of us can never beat fear, sorrow, sin. Definitely not death. Death. He beat death. Who do I say that he is? I know who he is. Oh, I know who he is. He said that he would rise. And he most certainly is risen. He is the Savior. He is the one true God.
He said something in Matthew's gospel, and he said, you know, now thank you, George, for putting that back up. Mary Magdalene was the one. She was a pretty bad, did some pretty bad stuff, like some of us here, let's just be honest. In fact, she was even a prostitute, sinful woman, you get the idea. But she was the first one to say, when the angel said to her, he isn't here, he's risen. And God has given us, wants us to be born again into a living hope, because we serve a living God. So you have to answer the question, who do you say that I am? And when Jesus said this, and this is a beautiful thing, when I think of Resurrection Sunday, he asked this question, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said that whoever believes in me, even though they may die, they'll live. And he said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he said, do you believe this? Actually, it's not in Matthew, it's in John chapter 11. You have to make that decision. Do you believe this? Will you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you turn from your sin to our Savior? Will you ask him to remove the blinders from your eyes? We've all had them. Humble yourself. Just let it happen. Ask him to do whatever it takes in your heart and life so that you can see him like I see him, like many of people here see him, the life changer, the eternity changer. Who do you say that I am? Peggy, if you guys would close us out however you want. We love you guys. Jesus loves you as well.
On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was yet dark, and she saw that the stone had been rolled away. So she ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and she said, they've taken away the body of our Lord, and I know not where they have laid it. So Simon Peter and the other disciple, they ran together to the tomb. But the other disciple outran Peter. And coming to the tomb first, he stooped down and he looked inside. Yet he went not in. Then came Peter and he ran into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, folded and lying in a separate place from the other linens. Then came in the other disciple. And he saw and believed. But they understood not that Jesus must rise from the dead. So they departed to their own homes. But Mary Magdalene stayed at the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked inside. And she saw two angels dressed in white, one at the head and one at the foot where the body of Jesus lay. And they said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, "Because they've taken the body of my Lord, and I know not where they have laid it." And as she said this, she turned and she saw Jesus, but she didn't recognize it was him. And he said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" And she, supposing that he was the gardener, said, "Sir, if you've taken him, tell me where you've laid him, that I may go and get him." And then Jesus said, "Mary." And she turned herself and she said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And he said, "Do not cling to me, but go to my brethren and tell them that I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Then Mary Magdalene, she ran and she told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and he has spoken these things unto me." In the evening of the same day, the disciples were gathered behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, when Jesus stepped into their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples filled with joy. And again Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whose ever sinned you remit, they're remitted. Whose ever sinned you retain, they're retained." Now Thomas, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came to him. But they told Thomas, "Thomas, we have seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail prints in his hands, and unless I put my finger into those nail prints, and I take my hand and I thrust it into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, the disciples were again gathered in locked doors. And this time, Thomas was there. And Jesus stepped in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And then he said, "Thomas, come here. Put your finger into my hand. Take your hand, thrust it into my side. And be thou not unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. But blessed are all those that have never seen me, yet they believe." Blessed are all those, all of you, who have never seen him, yet you believe. And many other things Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen. John chapter 20.
Can you say it like Thomas? "Who's Jesus to me? My Lord and my God." Can you say that? This chapter ends with, "That you may know who Jesus Christ is, the Christ, the Son of the living God." And by committing your life to him, you have eternal life. The message is that what Jesus Christ paid for, he's alive to deliver. And that's our eternal life, our salvation, with the true and the living resurrected God. If you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal manner, like Pastor D's been talking about, not just here, but here, then I encourage you, don't walk out of this building without making sure that you are ready to meet the true and the living God. He's coming again. and he wants to receive us unto himself so that where we are, there he is there, we might be also. So I encourage you, if you're not sure that you're right with God, please see Pastor D's wife, one of us. We want to sit with you, we want to talk with you, we want to pray with you, and we want to show you how that you can have this life that Jesus Christ has purchased for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gospel message. We thank you, Lord, that it's real. We thank you, Lord, that it's life transforming. And Lord, we thank you that we can serve the true and the living God, and that we can know that we have eternal life. Not hope, not maybe, but know. Lord, I just pray that you will convict anyone who's not sure whether they're ready to meet you. And Lord, encourage them to come, that we may show the way through your word. And Lord, we thank you for the message of your word this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Anyone, please come. We want to talk with you if you're not sure. God bless you. Have a God-blessed week.